It's time for the Ron and Brian podcast. Get ready to fill your ears with the latest news, politics, current events, and whatever else we feel like talking about this week. And now, your hosts, Ron and Brian.
All right. Good evening, everybody. It is Sunday night. It is 8 o'clock. It is time for episode 178 of the Ron and Brian podcast. Brian, how are you doing this evening, my friend?
I'm going to make the best of it. That's okay. How I'm doing. It was a jam-packed weekend.
It was.
Damage was done to my body.
Yes.
Liver. Kidneys. Stomach.
Yep.
Upper intestine. Yep. Lower intestine. Colon has not released what I did over the weekend, so that could be very dangerous. What's going to happen tomorrow? Anywho, we will get into it later on. But I am trying to summon the energy to be my best right now.
Well, I think what will help you is a little hair of the dog that bit you. Let's get going with Drink of the Week.
Drink of the Week.
На здоровье.
Salud.
Drink of the Week.
Sláinte.
Pause.
Drink of the Week. Drink of the Week.
All right. Brian, what are you drinking this week?
I'm drinking from our friends over at Jackalope Brewing. This is called Fenario IPA. And let me show you a little bit what this looks like. Look at that beauty.
Wow. That is amber and orange.
It's an amber. Ron, venture into the magical forest of Fenario, where floral and tangerine aromas from Simcoe, Centennial, and Amarillo hops delight your senses. Jackalope's dank West Coast IPA celebrates the style with approachable bitterness, pungent hop aroma, and beautiful golden color. Named Fenario after the magical forest where direwolves live in the Grateful Dead song Direwolf, this IPA is coming in at 7.2%.
Whoa, look out. How is that tasting, my friend?
Bitter.
Okay.
I like the flavor of it, but then it hits me with that bitterness in the aftertaste that I'm not a huge fan of. I'm currently still working through my IPAs that I've got in my beer fridge. Obviously not to compete with your beer fridge.
No.
Nothing to obviously compete with your beer fridge.
Obviously.
Your beer fridge is larger than my regular refrigerator.
You may have a point there.
Anywho, that is my beer, Fenario IPA, from our friends over at Jackalope. Ron, what are you working on?
A new beer from an old friend, or a new drink, I should say, from an old friend. 12-5 beverage out of Wisconsin. I have featured some of the beverages from their Rebel Hard Coffee line previously. This is a new one I found. And Brian, I feel I know you pretty well. And I know you had concerns that Basic Bitch Fall was over. Well, let me allay those fears, my friend, because tonight spice latte hard coffee from 12-5 Beverage. This is a malt beverage with natural flavors and 100% Arabica coffee. It is warm and spicy and clocking in at 5%. They recommend that you shake it up and you serve it over ice, which is exactly what I have done here. So let's have a sip and see how this is.
It looks so fucking disgusting.
I mean, it's not bad. It's pumpkin-y. It's spicy. It's got that coffee flavor. You might actually like this.
I couldn't. I would never get past cracking the can open.
Well, I mean, I will say, Brian, two things that we learned on Saturday. Number one, you drank a beer with pumpkin in it, and you liked it. And you also drank a beer with lactose in it, and I think you went back a couple times for that one.
So. Yeah, but that was a hold on. First, let me defend myself. The pumpkin did not label itself as pumpkin.
It was labeled in brown sugar stout.
All I saw was brown sugar stout. And in honor of the Rolling Stones song, Brown Sugar, which is no longer being played by the band, I said, I'm going with the brown sugar stout. Brown sugar! And then, after I had sampled it, was when you had informed me that there was pumpkin in there. Not my fault.
Listen, you are responsible for what you put into your body, as many judges and courts of law have reminded you.
And also staff at many bars on the in the West Village.
This wig. I'm sorry. I put this wig on because I
got to leave it.
I wore it for this weekend for the Halloween thing that we were at. I got to we'll merch up identically for Broken Goblet for the Happy Halloween that we attended. We will discuss costumes later, I guess, once we get into the full Happy Halloween weekend discussion, because it was a good weekend. I would say this is one of the better weekends I've had. Hopefully you felt the same way.
Absolutely. I mean, when was the when was the last time you had a full-on beer festival coming out of a pandemic the day after you have one of the preeminent comedians working the American circuit perform in your backyard?
It doesn't happen that often, and this was one of those weekends. So we will give you a recap on that. But of course, first we have to get through the horribleness that is This Week in Racism.
This
Week
in
Racism.
All right, Brian, two full pages of racism yet again. We will try and keep this to a tight 10 minutes starting now. The New York City Board of Health declared racism a public health crisis Monday and passed a resolution that recognizes the impact racism has had on people of color. The board called on the city's Department of Health and Mental Hygiene to take steps that will ensure a racially just recovery from the coronavirus pandemic. A white Naperville, Illinois high school student will serve 2 years probation and 100 hours of community service after posting a Craigslist ad offering up his black classmate as a, quote, slave for sale in November 2019. The student recently pleaded guilty to two felony hate crime charges. He was a 14-year-old freshman at the time. He took the picture of his classmate and posted it on the online classified ad site. The Hawaii ACLU is demanding change from the State Department of Education and Hawaii Police Department following the arrest of a 10-year-old black girl last year. The ACLU and an attorney for the family says the girl's rights were violated when she was detained and questioned without her mother and then handcuffed and brought to jail without being charged with the crime. The incident started when the girl, who has ADHD, participated in drawing an offensive sketch of another student in response to being bullied. The ACLU is seeking $500,000 from the city and state for damages to the child and her mother. The town of Chester, Vermont has agreed to pay Obadiah Jacobs $50,000 as part of a settlement after the state's Human Rights Commission determined that a Chester police officer only pulled Jacobs over on May 20th, 2019 because he is black. Jacobs' car did not match the suspect the police had been looking for when they made the stop, and despite finding no weapons or guns in the car, Police Chief Rick Cloud arrived on the scene and told Jacobs that he was known as a, quote, player who slings dope. The city also agreed to post a public apology to Jacobs on its website, as well as review and update its law enforcement policies and procedures against bias. The city of Boston has agreed to pay Al Copeland $1.3 million and has since offered the man an apology after police falsely accused him of being drunk and subsequently arresting him. Unbeknownst to officers and to himself, the 62-year-old man was actually suffering from a stroke. The incident occurred 2 years ago in April 2019 when police officers found Copeland slumped in his car and barely conscious outside of the Berklee College of Music. Law enforcement claimed they smelled alcohol on Copeland, although the man said he hadn't had a drink in over two decades. A number of errors were reportedly made in the events that followed, including the fact officers arrested Copeland instead of calling for medical assistance. Cops allegedly left him in a cell for 5 hours to sleep it off before calling an ambulance for him when he vomited. Upon arriving at Tufts Medical Center, medical staff there accepted the cops' assumption that Copeland was drunk and left him in the emergency room for 7 hours until his wife, Valerie, tracked him down, whereupon doctors finally determined that Copeland actually had suffered a stroke, the effects of which are now permanent due to the 12 hours that were delayed in getting him medical attention. The Justice Department announced Thursday that it reached a settlement agreement with the Davis School District in Farmington, Utah, to address racial discrimination against Black and Asian students. The DOJ started its investigation in July 2019 and found that the school district failed to act on hundreds of reports of racial harassment and discrimination and allowed the behaviors from students and staff to persist. The DOJ focused on 27 schools from the district and discovered that officials knew of at least 212 different incidents in which Black students were called the N-word. The investigation also uncovered slurs aimed at Asian American students who were called yellow and squinty and told to go back to China. Sometimes the offensive behavior came from district staff, with staff members ridiculing students in front of their peers, endorsing pejorative stereotypes of people of color in class, and retaliating against students of color for reporting harassment. And a California public school teacher was placed on leave after a video emerged of her wearing a Native American headdress and chanting in front of her class while teaching trigonometry. Riverside Unified School District teacher Candace Reed can be seen dancing around the class, wearing feathers on her head and making tomahawk motions while chanting Sokotoa. And I think we might actually have a little video here that was on Twitter. Let me just make sure we can get this going. All right.
Sokotoa, 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 Sokotoa.
We'll just cut that off there. That actually went on for a couple of more minutes. The chant is actually a mnemonic device often used to learn the trigonometric functions sine, cosine, and tangent. The footage was captured by a student in the class, and Reed was placed on leave by the district. Photos from school yearbooks show that Reed has been doing this in her classroom since at least 2012. And we can't get out of here without hitting Racism Rewind.
Racism Rewind.
We've got four stories in Racism Rewind this week. We previously reported on Pierce County, Washington Sheriff Ed Troyer after he lied about a Black newspaper carrier threatening to kill him as he made deliveries in Troyer's neighborhood in Tacoma. Prosecutors announced Tuesday that Troyer has been charged with one count of false reporting and one count of making a false or misleading statement to a civil servant. If convicted, Troyer faces up to 364 days in jail and up to a $5,000 fine on each count. We also discussed the Jefferson Parish, Louisiana sheriff's deputy who was recorded on video last month as he repeatedly slammed Chantel Arnold's head into the pavement. That deputy has been identified as 16-year sheriff's office veteran Julio Alvarado, and he has been on the receiving end of 9 federal civil rights lawsuits for excessive force, the most out of any of the department's current active deputies. Among the civil rights lawsuits filed against Alvarado is a 2016 suit that claimed he grabbed a 14-year-old Hispanic boy and slammed his head against concrete while allegedly threatening to have him and his family deported. And another included a Honduran native claiming Alvarado and 3 other deputies beat him and stole more than $2,000 from him during a traffic stop. Both of these cases were settled out of court. The search for impartial jurors is posing a challenge in the murder trial of 3 white men accused of killing Ahmaud Arbery because of the viral video in the Black jogger's death. Chatham County Superior Court Judge Timothy Walmsley wants an initial pool of 64 potential jurors, from which a final panel of 12 jurors and 4 alternates will be selected. But so far, only 23 have been picked for the pool after 1 week of proceedings because of how many people already have seen the video and believe the white men are guilty. And then finally, former Las Vegas Raiders head coach John Gruden continues to come under scrutiny after his resignation, with statistical analysis website 538 reporting on how his hiring impacted the makeup of the Raiders roster. The Raiders had the NFL's highest percentage of black players at 82.3% in 2016, which held steady at 82% in 2017, which is the year that Gruden was hired. 538's analysis of the team rosters found that the share of black players on the Raiders declined from that 82% in 2017 to 69% in 2019, 67.1% in 2020, and 67.2% in 2021. Others have also pointed to the fact that there are no young black assistants on his coaching staff. He has only ever retained one black coordinator, and he has never developed a black quarterback.
Wow.
And that, Brian, is the week in racism.
Ooh, that's heavy shit.
Yes. Also, some interesting statistics about former Eagles coach Chip Kelly as well, in that the disparity of minorities on the Eagles was so out of whack with the average of the NFL that had it been any other industry, we would have automatically sparked an EEOC investigation.
Wow.
So that's where we're at, Ryan. That's the week. That's the racism. 8 minutes, 40 seconds. Not too shabby this week.
You're getting better. You're getting better at this, Ron.
Yeah, we're doing all right. Well, then let's keep blowing through this here. Let's get to Beef of the Week.
Ron and Brian's Beef of the Week.
Brian, what's bothering you this week?
I struggled very hard this week to come up with a beef.
Okay.
I've had a pretty good week. I've had a lot of fun. And I realized that my actual beef is with myself.
And why is that?
Because I am at the tender age of 49, physically unable to go hard 2 days in a row. And I decided that I was going to go spur of the moment, at the time. This wasn't, premeditated. I drank a lot at your house on Friday.
Correct.
Knowing that I had a beer festival the following day.
Yes.
And then the beer festival went hard again, drank a lot of different types of beer. Ate a lot of different types of food. I had a chicken and pesto with fresh mutz on it. I had a sandwich. Then I had a spicy honey and bacon waffle, topped off with a bacon peanut butter and banana waffle. I feel like I had something else to eat.
There was no shame in your game. At the festival. Yes, you ate some of our fries too.
Oh, yes, that was it. I had fries. So that was all yesterday on top of all that beer. And I have felt like garbage all day. I'm on my second gigantic water bottle, just to give you an idea of the size of this fucking thing. I'm on my second one of these today, and I still don't feel good. And I would like to think that I should have learned that I don't need to go that hard to have a good time.
You should still
have a couple beers. And I would be feeling a lot better right now had I not drank so much this past weekend and, maybe showed a little restraint.
Well, maybe this will be a learn. Maybe this is a teachable moment for you. Teachable moment. But probably not, would be my guess.
I'll be good tomorrow.
Yes.
Ron?
Yes.
What's really just grinding your gears?
Let me tell you what's bothering me. Well, first, your pixelation is. So I don't know if you have something on your computer that's sucking down your Wi-Fi. But speaking of IT issues, I had an IT issue with work this week in relation to one of the hotel brands that I work with. I will not say the name of the hotel brand, just that it rhymes with Milton. And had to call up their IT support. And Brian, do you know how long I was on the phone for with their IT support?
I'm going to say 7 minutes.
You would think, but 1 hour and 9 minutes. Just okay. To get my multi-factor authorization set up.
Now, can you describe exactly what the issue was?
So they had previously, I thought, set up this multi-factor authorization so I could log into their internal website. And
what does multi-factor association mean?
So like it's an app on your phone. So when you log in, you get a little thing that pops up on your phone saying, hey, is this really you that's logging in? So
okay.
That
got it.
Your, you know, authorization. But then at the end of the day, I still couldn't get in because there was an issue with my password, which for whatever reason they can't fix, even though the people they directed me to fix it can't fix it either. And then they called me back on Friday and said, well, your ticket's still open. And I said, yes, because I still can't log in. Yes, but it's not something we can help you with. So do you want us to close this ticket? I'm like, no, because I still can't log in. Well, we can't help you with that. I'm like, well, I'm not going to spend another hour and 9 minutes on the phone with you. I'm like, so you do what you need to do with that ticket. I could really care less at this point. I will continue to figure out who can get me into this website.
Okay. So how is it that they're not responsible for fixing that?
Well, they said, oh, you need to reach out to this person. And I'm like, I did reach out to that person. And that's the exact person that directed me to you. But no, right. I will go back to that person now and say, they are now directing me back to you. And we will continue to waste time on this.
For an hour?
1 hour, 9 minutes. Extremely frustrating. Extremely
frustrating. Now, what was going on during this hour? Are you on hold? Are they asking you, like, go to try this?
It'd be like, all right, I need you to do this. I'm like, all right, I did this and it's still not letting me in. Oh, I need a screenshot of that. Well, this is the I need to attach the screenshot to your case. So I would have to take a screenshot and then I'd have to attach it to an email and then I'd have to email it over. And then I'd have to wait till they got the email and then they'd do whatever they need. And then, all right, well, let's try this next. It's worse than the cable company.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. I don't know. That is bad. That's bad. That's rough. Mm. That's some rough shit.
It made me enjoy this past weekend that much more. That was my Friday. So it made me enjoy everything that went on this weekend. Do we want to talk about the weekend?
Let's go right to it. Let's do it. Let's talk about you having a, how do I say this? An amazing ability to host friends, loved ones, as well as strangers.
Absolute strangers, yes. So as we've been mentioning, we were having Dave Hill doing stand-up live in my backyard this past Friday night. Dave Hill rolled in a couple hours before the show started, got his equipment set up. He brought a guitar amp. We had gotten a sound system. We did the sound check. Everything was good. Dave Hill, extremely friendly, as friendly in person as you would imagine him to be. We had some good food. You know, we ordered some chicken and waffle bites from our local restaurant that we love. Had some cheese and crackers, some crudité, a lot of beers to drink. And we had sold tickets to the general public. So we ended up with, we had about 20, 22 people in the backyard.
That we did.
And just a fun night. The weather was good. We had the fire pit going. And Dave Hill did a little over an hour set, right? And just a great time, great group of people. I think everybody had a good time. Everybody enjoyed themselves. And we would definitely do this again.
Well, I think the amazing thing, from the way I was perceiving it as it was going on was the fact that you had a lot of people that were showing up in pairs, couples. And yet by the end of the night, there were groups of four, groups of six sitting around talking to each other. So, you know, I don't want to sound didactic in saying that, you know, friendships were made.
Didactic.
You know, I'm pretty sure that's not the right use of didactic, but it sounded good. It was, you know, people would show up. This was a fully vaccinated event. So everybody that entered comfortably showed ID and proof of vaccination. And let's face it, you and your wife did an amazing job setting up the space so that it felt felt welcome. It felt like a space where people could be comfortable in. You had chairs set up, you had tables. You had, like you mentioned earlier, you had a fire pit that was going. You had a VIP section for friends, families, and lovers, and it was just a great time.
And as Billy mentioned, we had great security as well. You know, just top notch security, keeping everything in line. And then we followed that up on Saturday by attending Hoppy Halloween 7 Beer Festival over in Bensalem with our good friends at Broken Goblet. Hoppy Halloween 6, of course, did not take place due to the pandemic. So we were very happy to get back there. Just an enjoyable time. A lot of people dressed in costumes, some costumes more successful than others, as often will be the case. But just a great beer selection, great food truck selection, some really great bands, topped off with the headlining by Unholy Water, a Type O Negative cover band.
Yes,
still have a little ringing in my ears from the music. It was a little loud.
Oh, really?
A little loud. Well, you know, I'm getting older. A little loud.
Maybe you should not be such a little bitch.
perhaps not. So I do need to call out my own costume because it did not turn out as well as one would have hoped.
What? No. This turned out incredible. This was amazing.
We were my wife had actually picked out these costumes a couple of years back. We didn't get to do it last year again because of the pandemic, but we were doing like the whole kind of pop art thing. So it required a little bit of makeup, for the face, which somewhat was supposed to look like this. Like this photo will give you an idea with the dots and the drawn in cheekbones and lines and things like that. Glamorous.
I mean, like the lines on the face, just, you know, the accenting, you know, the high cheekbones, just the beauty of the individual. I mean, any attempt at this
would heighten the level of somebody of how it should have turned out. Instead, thanks to my good friend Brian, who has a great shot of this. This is more how it ended up being. Just absolutely horrifying. I'm still not 100% quite sure what the hell happened with the costume. But I will say this was we usually go hard on Halloween. And this I'm going to chalk up as a bit of a fail as far as the costumes go.
The high point, to me, one of the best things was at one point, and you said that your wife had done a lot of the makeup for you. At one point you asked her what her logic was in drawing eyebrows above your actual eyebrows that they could be seen underneath. Jeez.
I was like, you know, you really could have just drawn in the actual eyebrows. I'm not quite sure why they're so high on my head. So, I mean, she did her best, and she looked fantastic. She looked
amazing, which is why you guys, she's basically the female equivalent, but she pulled it off splendidly.
Yes.
Your wig that you were wearing earlier in the podcast and you're wearing here in this photo, I thought you were going for Boris Johnson, Prime Minister of England. I thought that's the look you were going for.
I feel it wouldn't have been as horrible if I did not wear the wig in hindsight, but I'm not
sure. It wouldn't have been that horrible, but it would not have stood out the way you wanted it.
And, you know, and many people I'm sure were thinking it, but I didn't get asked till later in the night. Like someone was like, what exactly are you supposed to be? And I explained it to them and they're like, it's like, yes.
I feel like that was your opportunity to say something different. I'm the clown that molested me as a child.
I am the one who owns the real Pizzagate basement.
Yeah, like that was your opportunity.
Do you want some pepperoni?
I'm just going to take that picture down because that was bad. I mean, I can't deny it. That was it was not good. So we're thinking we're going to have to come up with a new costume for the Halloween party we go to on Saturday night.
Now, my question to you is, I heard a rumor on Twitter. Will you be signing color glossy 8x10s of that picture?
That will be my headshot when we are able to finally perform live again at the podcast festivals. It will be $20 for a autographed 8x10 of that photo.
Wonderful, wonderful.
I think it's more than reasonable.
Sure, of course. I think anybody would be lucky to be able to say they have that.
Brian, wow. What else happened this week, my friend?
Alec Baldwin killed someone.
He did. That was, I'd initially heard that there was a death on the set of his new movie Rust, but I did not Rust. Hear. I did not hear until later on that he was the one that actually fired the gun. He was being used as a prop. Apparently, it had a live round in it, and when he fired it. It killed the film's cinematographer and also wounded the director. I guess the question that I have is, why would you have live ammunition on the set to begin with? Like, what purpose does that actually serve? Like, if it is a film set, why would you even have that risk there?
Well, I believe, there's a lot of conflicting stories that are going on right now. I think clearly, the district attorney and the county of New Mexico is asking a lot of the important questions, trying to determine if there is any criminal liability in what took place here. Reading the articles that I have over the past few days, what seems to be a consensus is this, is that when they are filming movies, TV shows, whatnot, there is no such thing as a prop gun. To make things look authentic, they are using real guns that have the ability to shoot live ammunition. But what happens is that there is an armorer whose responsibility it is to separate the live ammunition to ensure that that never gets used on set and only fake ammunition. So what happens is there's an actual bullet that is placed inside the gun so that it actually looks as authentic as possible. So you do get the flare from the gunpowder being ignited. You do get a projectile, but instead of a metal bullet, it is usually a small piece of wax so that you see, the ejection of the shell or whatnot. You see the smoke coming off of it. So they want it to look as real as possible. Now, there are some conflicting stories here. Some say that several members of the crew quit the day that this took place or the day before it took place because they felt that unsafe practices were going on this set. There are other rumors that seem to be circulating that the members of the crew of this movie were using the guns so with live ammunition off the set. So they were taking these guns and using them with real ammunition, live ammunition for target practice, and then bringing the weapons back to the set for later use. And what happened there, the theory right now is that in that process, live ammunition was mixed in with the fake ammunition. Mm. However, it still does not answer the situation here of, why was Alec Baldwin, and obviously I don't believe there's anybody accusing him of doing this premeditated,
sure,
but why was he aiming a gun at another member of the a member of the crew while apparently they were going through some type of, this wasn't a live shot, this was him practicing the aiming and pointing of the gun. So if he's aiming and pointing, doesn't common sense say don't aim it at someone?
You would think. I mean, and why even, you know, why fire it as well? You know,
you watch The Godfather?
No.
If you remember, no. Tell me you saw The Godfather.
I haven't seen The Godfather all the way through.
Okay. We're going to start the introduce Ron to some of the greatest Italian American pieces of entertainment that have been created. So there's one scene where a character has been told that he will be executing somebody by gun in a restaurant. So what he does is he practices using the gun earlier that day so he gets familiar with how much pressure he needs to put for the trigger to go off. He practices it so that, you know, there, so that he can control the backfire, the kickback. So he practices. I imagine that Alec Baldwin was doing something similar. The question still doesn't become why he would aim it at a person.
At another human being.
Well, so and also, keep in mind, he has been a very loud proponent of gun control.
Correct.
So he is going to take quite a hit on in this because the gun control nuts are already coming after him for saying that he's killed more people than they have. Well, and he's trying to take away their gun.
You know, the right wing portion of social media has also started to mock him as well.
Sure.
You know, completely ignoring the fact that a young woman died, leaving behind a husband and child.
Well, I would have to say that there probably is not that much sympathy amongst the right wing. I believe that we have, and if we get to Colin Powell later, we'll see that there's even more. There is just a general sense of a loss of civility going on in this country.
Correct. Just ongoing. Worse and worse, it seems. What do we have?
That's my understanding of Alec Baldwin's situation right now.
All right.
Now.
Well, I think you have educated me, not just me, but you've educated the public as well. So thank you for that. We also have updates on booster shots, which was, you know, obviously very important as well. We did run the vaccinated only show with Dave Hill. So everyone that was there was vaccinated, had received, you know, two shots of the good vaccines, one shot of J&J, some folks, and some there had already had their booster shots or had booster shots scheduled. But now it seems like the FDA is going to allow kind of mixing and matching. So if you say started off with a J&J vaccine, you could get a Moderna booster. If you were a Moderna person and wanted to downgrade and get a Pfizer booster, you could do that as well. But regardless, it is kind of clearing the way for people that can have issues, you know, finding specific vaccines in their area to get a shot, regardless of what their initial vaccine was.
Why would somebody go out right now? And I'm pro vaccine. I believe these things I have proven mathematically, data wise. That they are inherently safe, that they are not killing people, not making them sick in the large swaths of the millions of people who have received them. But I cannot figure for the life of me why somebody would go out looking for a booster shot right now and get Johnson & Johnson.
Right. And
would anybody want Johnson & Johnson right now?
We've talked about it before, and there was another study that showed that those folks that had gotten the J&J single dose shot who received a Moderna booster saw their antibody levels rise 76-fold in 15 days compared with only a 4-fold increase after an extra dose of Johnson & Johnson. To your point, people wondered why they were getting brown wristbands on Friday, and we eventually had to let them in. That's because you got the J&J vaccine.
But that was a genius idea that you had, which was let's hand out wristbands so that people could leave the property and re-enter. And let's use three different colors of wristbands based on the color that the person would be would get would be determined by the type of vaccine they had. That was a genius, genius call on your part, Ron. The individuals who had the Johnson & Johnson, as you mentioned, received a brown wristband. Those who had the Pfizer vaccine reported, they received a silver for the silver standard. And those who were going to be handed a gold wristband were the recipients of Moderna.
And they were blessed. They were blessed.
The gold standard.
Sorry, am I slacking over here again?
Listen, we're both slacking. This is this is what happens when we abuse our bodies.
That's right.
But yeah, that was it was. I don't know why somebody would go out and get Johnson. Why would somebody with Pfizer right now go in and get a Johnson & Johnson?
Again, unless it is the only thing you have available, and you absolutely have to go out and get a booster shot. But yeah, I think this is this, you know, if this mix and matching is allowed, I think you see J&J go by the wayside. I don't know
if
people are going to necessarily waste their time on it.
Speaking
of vaccinations, burger chain In-N-Out Burger slammed San Francisco's vaccine mandate after one of its stores was temporarily closed by city officials because apparently employees were not preventing the entry of customers who were not carrying proper vaccination documentation.
Yeah, this is tough.
Your thoughts on this, Brian?
This is tough because you're suddenly being, you're asking retail workers to become law enforcement agents.
Right.
You know, and, you know, I listen, I am all about vaccinations. Absolutely. I feel less comfortable with mandates. I'm not that comfortable with the idea of people losing their jobs over it. I do believe people should be publicly shamed, but I don't believe that their way of life should be affected. I really do believe that. So I just have a hard time with some, you know, a 19-year-old kid who's working at a burger chain being told that it's his job to tell people that they have to leave the store because they can't, they're not willing to show proof of vaccination.
Right.
You know, that our governments are issuing decrees that are telling people to become enforce regulations and whatnot. It just doesn't sit well with me. And I'm sure there are other instances of it that I'm not thinking of that I'm okay with. But off the top of my head, I just think it's an unfair expectation to put on people working retail to tell them that it's their job to reject customers, especially during these difficult times when so many stores and restaurants, especially the restaurant industry, has been hit so hard last year with COVID and whatnot, that to tell them that now they have to start, you know, turning away, the paying public just doesn't sit well.
No. And I would, you know, it'd be one thing if they provided some sort of, you know, proper training or even proper support or backup, but I'm sure that the city has not done that. So the resolution that In-N-Out Burger came up with was to reopen the location, but to no longer allow indoor dining. So that way they don't need to worry about the vaccine mandate in the city.
And how much money are they losing as a result of that?
That's just a good point.
You know, or it would be one thing if the, the city government, created, you know, an enforcement agency that would be responsible for checking the vaccination of people going into restaurants.
Right.
And the city would take it upon themselves to be the enforcement agent of this decree, but they're not.
No.
They're sitting there saying, this is now the law. You guys figure out how to do it.
Right. They're leaving it to the businesses to figure it out.
Yeah. Without, like you said earlier, without any training.
Right. Not the craziest COVID story this week, though. That falls to Rick Wiles, who is a Christian television host. He is usually fairly anti-Semitic, anti-LGBTQ. He has released a number of COVID and political conspiracies. But this past week, he reached a new high by telling viewers of his True News program that the COVID vaccine will insert a, quote, egg that hatches into a synthetic parasite. It grows inside your body. This is like a sci-fi nightmare. This is a global coup d'etat by the most evil cabal of people on the planet in the history of mankind.
Based on what? Where? I mean, don't get me wrong. The entire idea of religion is just a man. Like, I get it. But where is he? Where is he even basing any of this statement on?
Oh, nothing. I mean, so far he's blamed the pandemic on China, Jewish people, LGBTQ people, and the devil. He got COVID himself after refusing to get vaccinated, but he blamed the Delta variant on those who had been vaccinated, saying that those people were shedding the virus. He claimed that COVID-19 vaccines will kill 70% of the people that get them, even though that has not quite happened. He calling attempts to vaccinate people, quote, a mass death campaign. He also said deaths would make for a better world since only stupid people get vaccinated.
Jesus. I mean, it's such a dangerous misinformation being put out there. Like, it's one thing for someone to say, hey, I don't feel comfortable, I'm not going to get vaccinated. But right. To sit there and just create lies, you know, I mean, when we started saying that Moderna was the gold standard, I mean, like, that was based on scientific proof.
We have the numbers that up.
Believe the science, Ron.
That's what you have to do. Just follow the science. Well, I guess then it's only appropriate after that story to talk about our dead anti-vaxxer of the week.
Dead anti-vaxxer of the week.
So, Brian, I have to ask you, who is your dead anti-vaxxer of the week?
Ron, do you have a photo of Mr. John Shuck?
I believe so.
He is what I would refer to as, lovely man. He is what I would refer to as a modern day Renaissance man. He was a radio host. He was a minister. He was a librarian. He was an anti-vaxxer. And now, after October 21st, he is also dead. John Shuck, resident of Glendive, Montana, was a complex individual, quite an enigma. He believed that religion was a human construct, despite being a minister, believed that Jesus was merely a legend, God is a symbol, and the Bible is a human document, and there is no afterlife. He was also a staunch supporter of the LGBT community and supported their membership in his church. He was also a strong supporter of the Muslim faith and made multiple trips to Iraq. However, he also seems to have gone off the deep end. He was a huge 9/11 conspiracy theorist, and then this fed into his stance on the COVID situation, which he believed was another government-manufactured crisis in order to gain control of the masses. He felt that it was a psychological operation, posted on social media in dozens of posts about how the government was bringing the world to an end, and it blamed it on China. In other posts, he said that Israel was the responsible for 9/11. Pretty crazy stuff. Unfortunately, one of the things he did not think was crazy was the idea of rejecting the vaccine. As such, he went out and while being safe, he contracted COVID and passed away earlier this month. Ron, my dead anti-vaxxer is John Shuck. 60 years old, leaves all a wife.
Right. Very sad to see. Very sad to see. I too, Brian, I think I bring a pretty good candidate to the table. I bring both Russ and Shelley Dizdar, but we're only going to focus on Russ because he has the one that passed away this past week from COVID. He was an evangelistic end times pastor who consistently talked about the coming of the Antichrist and the ongoing battle between Satan's warriors and God's warriors. He was a satanic ritual abuse investigator, and also spread around a number of QAnon type theories, as well as anti-vaccine theories. He was anti-Fauci. He referred to the vaccine as biovirus warfare, that the implant of the vaccine would give you a microchip. It would give you a mark of the beast. It was Google patented. Just, you know, if you look through his social media, just post after post of crap, and surprisingly, dying of COVID, and his wife, Shelley, still in the hospital fighting the COVID battle. Of course, all of his friends and followers are starting to put together conspiracy theories, such as it seems like prophecy teachers are being targeted, that someone who was a friend of the family administered, quote, vitamins and minerals, but then suggesting that maybe that person killed them. So yeah, so just some crazy conspiracy theories going on, and yet again, more dead anti-vaxxers of the week.
Dead anti-vaxxer of the week.
You know, I really would like to be able to end that segment, but it just...
I would love to. I would love to end that segment.
Each and every week, we have more dead anti-vaxxers. But more importantly, Brian, what are you watching?
Oh, Succession returned. Succession returned on HBO season 3. The inside dealings of the Roy family, starring Brian Cox. Okay. As the head of a multinational conglomerate that deals in media and cruise ships, and as his you know, family members jockey for you know, a favored child status in his eyes. Really well done. This season picks up exactly where season 2 ended. Last week was the first episode of season 3. Today we're recording this Sunday night, will be episode 2. Highly recommend it. Really enjoyed it. Also, what are you watching, Ron?
The only thing new that I really watched this week was a show on Netflix called Oats Studio. It's from Neil Blomkamp, the director that brought us that movie District 9 years back. So many, it's a bunch of short films, short stories, with kind of a dystopian slash horror bend to them.
Okay.
Not bad. I mean, watchable. Mm-hmm. I think whether you like it or not, it's going to depend on whether you like his work or not. Some of them are kind of out there. Some I kind of wish there was more story too. But overall, a decent watch.
Okay. And you have your homework.
I do. I need to watch. Now, I was going, I've heard Godfather 3 is the best. So I was thinking that I start with that and work my way backwards.
Start with 1, because 3 wraps up the whole story in a nice bow. Your homework, Ron, and it is mine as well, and everybody watching, Curb Your Enthusiasm season 11.
Should I catch up with seasons 1 through 10 first?
Are you kidding me?
That's another one that I really never got into. Was that on Showtime initially?
HBO.
HBO. Yeah, I didn't have HBO for a lot of years. You know, I just didn't see the value in it. You know, I didn't know you at that time, so I couldn't borrow your HBO login. So yeah.
Curb. Oh, fuck it. You know. Then you know what? I want you to watch it. We'll talk about it next week.
Right. Watch. Fair enough.
Don't go back, because I don't expect you to, but at least watch this season.
All right. I will excuse me. I will do what I can.
You watch so much shitty television that there's this great stuff out there and you don't watch it.
I'll add that to the list. We'll see if I can get into it.
Very disappointed in you.
Thank you. Last week, Brian, Lyft released its first ever safety report detailing the prevalence of fatal crashes, physical violence, and sexual assaults and other incidents from 2017 through the end of 2019. The report shows that more than 1,800 people were sexually assaulted during Lyft rides in 2019 alone, a 64% increase from assaults in 2017. And though the baseline of rides increased even more during that time, and the overall incidents dropped 19%, it is still a large number of assaults taking place.
Scary.
With people that are just supposed to drive people otherwise.
Just be careful, people. Always, always be on guard.
You want to hear how the cases broke down? Because they did.
Oh, yeah, please.
In the categories, non-consensual sexual penetration was 156. Attempted non-consensual sexual penetration was 114. Non-consensual kissing of a sexual body part, 203. Non-consensual kissing of a non-sexual body part, 293. But number one coming in, non-consensual touching of a sexual body part at 1,041 incidents.
That is amazingly sad.
Now, what would be interesting to see is there are so many drivers that drive for Uber and Lyft. I wonder what the crossover is. Like, is it specific to people that really just drive Lyft and that, you know, like Uber manages to weed these people out, or are these drivers that manage to get through the background checks of both companies?
We'll never know.
We won't. Unfortunately, we won't.
It's just sad. Just be careful, people. You know, and what's the shame is that a lot of people are using these, as a way to get home after a night out of drinking.
Right.
That's, you know, it's sadly, it's when people are at their most vulnerable. Those people that are the predators look to attack.
You know what else is sad, Brian? That there are people out there who did not wager on your NFL locks of the week last week. I mean, I have to give you credit, my friend. Perfect again. You looked at Green Bay giving 7.5 points to Washington. You're like, it's not going to be close. Sure enough, Green Bay wins 24-10. Carolina Panthers were a 3-point road favorite going into the Meadowlands to play the Giants today. You were like, you know what? I feel this is a week the Giants are going to shock the world. Sure enough, Giants win outright 25-3, keeping you perfect on the season. How do you do it, my friend?
I do it by watching you, because you looked at your picks and you said, these are so easy. You saw the Raiders laying 2.5 over the Eagles. Living in Philly, you knew exactly what the state of the Philadelphia Eagles were. You said Raiders, they're easily going to cover this one. Then in the Sunday night game, 49ers laying 5 over the Colts. Not even close. Ron, again on the winning side. Ron, you went 2-0 this week. How do you do it?
I just, you know, I keep my head in the game. In the game, Brian, and that is key. More importantly, Brian, who are you picking for next week?
My picks this week, week 8, Falcons -1 over the Panthers. Panthers look terrible against the Giants. They do it again against the Falcons. Also, the Jets may be one of the worst teams that has ever taken the field. They are getting only 4 points against the Cincinnati Bengals, unless there's something going on that I can't figure out. Bengals -4 is the obvious call. Ron?
All right. This upcoming weekend, Seattle has Jacksonville coming to town. Seattle, only a 3-point favorite at home against the Jags. That seems like a crazy low line. So I'm taking Seattle -3. And then the Dolphins going on the road, going up to Buffalo. Buffalo, an 11-point home favorite. I think this game gets ugly early and Buffalo just blows them out. Take Buffalo -the points.
Okay.
And those are the NFL locks of the week. We do have a celebrity obituary that we did want to hit on. It was earlier this week. Colin Powell, former chairman of the Joint Chief of Staff, former Secretary of State, former National Security Advisor, passing away at the age of 84 due to complications from COVID. He was vaccinated. However, he was also fighting, was it blood cancer, I believe?
I believe it was, yes.
A number of pre-existing conditions and passing away. So it was, yeah, multiple myeloma, which he had been undergoing treatment for.
And not to make everything about Donald Trump, but Colin Powell was a war hero.
True.
You could sit there and say that, you know, it was not an honorable war. You can say that it was a war we had no business being in. You can say that he got to the UN and lied about the irrefutable evidence that the United States had in Iraqi missile weapons of mass destruction. You can say a lot about Colin Powell, but Donald Trump released a statement basically showing again what just an incredibly pathetic just piece of shit he is. His statement on Colin Powell's passing: wonderful to see Colin Powell, who made big mistakes on Iraq and famously so-called weapons of mass destruction, be treated in death so beautifully by the fake news media. Hope that happens to me someday. He was a classic rhino,
Republican in name only,
if even that, always being the first to attack other Republicans. He made plenty of mistakes, but anyway, may he rest in peace.
Yeah, complete asshole move. And, you know, and I think what that has to do is, you know, Colin Powell was, you know, a very vocal critic of Trump during his presidency.
Sure.
I saw Colin Powell speak at a conference in Las Vegas a couple of years back, and he made no bones about it that he was very disappointed in the Trump administration. He was very disappointed in the rhetoric and very disappointed in the direction that the country was going. And I'm sure, you know, those are words that, you know, got back to Trump. And again, Trump has a amazing inability to be the better person. He is always going to feed the lowest common denominator. Because that is who still follows.
What he does.
Those are the people that still attend his rallies. Those are the people that still insist that the election was rigged and that Trump did not lose. And again, he is also very successful in keeping his name in the news cycle. And he knew that something like this would keep him on the news cycle in both liberal and conservative venues. You know, one to celebrate and one for outrage. So he is a master media manipulator. He gets more free press coverage than any other individual I can think of in recent history.
Yeah, fuck him.
Fuck him hard. What else do we got this week, Brian? Well, I just want to say we've never really touched on the Gabby Petito Brian Laundry situation. But what I do find amazing is that during that manhunt to find Brian Laundry, which apparently they did find his remains this past week, authorities found, I believe it's up to 9 bodies of missing persons down in Florida. That on top of all of the missing, all of the bodies they found out in, what was it, Wyoming? In looking for Gabby Petito. So my question is, how many random dead bodies are lying across this country right now? Like, it's just
amazing. I would say people die. People go missing. Listen, think of it this way. Every time somebody goes missing, their body is somewhere.
No, I understand that. But it's like, you know, it's, I would think it's tough to just, you know, either people are getting rid of dead bodies. It seems like a lot of the bodies that are being found, you know, are people that were abducted by others. And how in this day and age is it still so easy to dispose of bodies and not have them be found?
I wish I could tell you.
I wish
you I could don't hide you. Bodies. It's not my thing.
You know what? I don't know if I believe you. I think maybe you are the devil I'm describing. I don't know.
That's hurtful.
Sorry. My bad.
That's really hurtful. And I wish you didn't talk like that about me.
All right. I'll do my best. I will do my best. Anything else, Brian? Or should we go get ready for After Dark?
We've got a hot After Dark lined up, and I think we should be focusing on that.
All right. Just a reminder, if you are not a member of our Patreon, go to ronandbrianpodcast.com. Click on the link to become a patron. You can join. You can go live with us at the bottom of the hour. Next week, we are doing some special times since the podcast does fall on Halloween. We are recording at, what did we say, noon we're going to record?
Yeah.
But it will still broadcast live at 8 o'clock on Sunday night. But if you do want to be part of the live recording, reach out to us. We can send you the link to make you part of that. And then the After Dark will be taking place at 1:30. And again, since this is the last Sunday of the month, it will be our After Dark pajama party. A little early for pajamas, but you can always change back into regular clothes once the pajama party is done. But as always, yes. It's a good time. Is there another Can You Beat Ron competition coming up next week?
We will have a Can You Beat Ron. I think we're going to talk about that during the Patreon that we're going to do in about a half an hour.
All right. Fantastic. Anything else? Or are we good to close out this episode?
I think we're good to close it out.
All right. So Patreon folks, we will see you shortly. Everyone else, we will see you next week.
Thank you for joining us on the Ron and Brian podcast. We're live each week on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch. You can find prior episodes, links to our social media, and everything else Ron and Brian at ronandbrianpodcast.com. See you again next week.